let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening. Of course, remind you guys to subscribe and tell a friend. I'm here in the studio here in sunny Las Vegas with C.K. Thompson. Are you there, C.K.?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
good
Brian.
To see you. And then also today we have Mike Thompson is also here in the studio, so it's going to be a good podcast today. And we're basically just continuing.
First of all, I want to say welcome to everybody.
That's
and thank
right.
you for listening. Welcome to Las Vegas, Nevada. We're coming to you live via podcast.
That's right.
As live as we can get. Thank you for listening. And we are on the Streams of Many Waters podcast network. And God bless you guys. Shout out to you. We've been talking about basically what I've been calling the Trump factor.
Yes. And this is the third
this
installment.
This is the third one. Yes. So,
so if anyone's missed the first two, just go back and listen to them. Just click on it.
Yeah, 23,
subscribe,
24.
And then you can listen to all of them for free.
25, yeah. At no cost to you, although do feel free to support us with your prayers and finances should you feel led to do so. Today we're going to let her rip, and we're going to see what we're called to see, say what we're called to say, and the first thing I always see is how much God loves you. God loves you, the people of God. So we have Mike Thompson in the studio today. Hi, Mike.
Hello, CK.
Welcome.
Oh, it's great being here.
Hey, we've had some good meetings, too. Kathy Walters. I love Kathy Walters. This is the most fun meetings, the most freeing meetings. I tell you what, the glory of God just does not flow unless you're free. I mean, it does not flow in legalism. It flows in grace and freedom.
That is true.
God bless her. And I hope everybody had a great time. I know I'm still recovering. It's been good. Okay. Now, Mike, we have been talking because you did a series of, you had an encounter with the Lord. And before I turn it over to you to tell us about that, it happened on April 7. Now, you've had, like, saying you had an encounter with the Lord is like the epitome of understatement. You had one of many. One you had on April 7th during a prayer meeting where we were praying for the elections, the presidential election in the United States, and specifically for America and Israel.
Yes.
And the election. And the Lord has shown you and taken you up into third heaven, and even angels have taken you up into the heavenlies and shown you the revival that's hanging over the United States right now, waiting to touch down.
Yes, and I might say that that really is the emphasis about all of these things. It's what is God is doing.
Absolutely.
And revival is here.
It is.
He showed me that in 2013.
That's right.
So the manifestation of that vision is still coming to pass, and that's why the elections are so crucial at this point in bringing about all the different pieces of the puzzle and the last keys so that the fullness of that revival is released in America and Israel and then throughout the world.
Yes, and you know, it just reminds me real quickly, I was going to say last time and I forgot, when the Lord told me, when I had the dream about our sitting president, well, Obama, President Obama, you have to respect the office.
Yes.
Always. The Lord, when I heard the gavel fall in the courtroom of heaven, and I heard them say, I heard the words, today the kingdom is removed. And we talked about how it takes time for those things to manifest in the natural. But, see, the Lord doesn't just stick with actual dates. You know, it's not like, boom, here, and then it's things overlap. And so what we're seeing now, I believe, because there's a revival is breaking out in America now. It's starting to break out now.
Yes.
It's like the kingdom was removed. Well, I'm going to say it. The kingdom was removed from Obama, and the kingdom is being given to Donald Trump. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the overlap. That's why revival has already begun to touch down. In parts of America now, it's already begun. I mean, God doesn't wait. You always see the foretaste. You always see the earnest come before the full thing. And it's happening.
That's right.
Before we go, I'm going to turn it over to you. If anyone wants to check out what we're talking about, go back and listen to number 23, number 24, and this is podcast number 25. Or you go to YouTube. If you haven't seen it yet, there's a video where Mike shared some of what we're talking about today. It's called Donald Trump, Mike Thompson's Heavenly Vision. It's a 17-minute video on YouTube. And all you have to do is just go in there and type Mike Thompson, and it'll be right at the top, because that thing's pretty much gone viral now.
Well, I don't know what viral means in terms of how many, but we've got over 100,000 hits here just in the last couple of weeks.
Right, and the people are sharing, and they're sharing and sharing, and that's on YouTube. It's also on Facebook, and it's, I don't know what it is on Facebook. Okay, but here's what I want people to know. We have a series of CDs available on our website right now in the store at wordoflifeworldoutreach.org, so that you can take these. They're CDs of the series that you've preached around what the Lord showed you, what we're going to be talking about.
Yes, over the last 30 days or so.
Right.
Three different sermons.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it now, the page on my phone. It's called Revival and the 2016 Presidential Election. It's a 3-CD set, and then we throw in the bonus DVD of that 17-minute clip that's gone wacko out there on YouTube. It says, how is the 2016 presidential election connected with revival in America? What are God's prayer strategies and instructions? Learn about political spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee. Includes a 17-minute bonus video, Mike's Vision About Donald Trump. So it's a 3-CD set plus the bonus DVD. The titles are 1, Revival and the 2016 Presidential Election. 2, Exposing the Spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee. 3, Why Revival is Connected with This Election, 2016. And number 4, the bonus DVD called Donald Trump, Mike Thompson's Heavenly Vision. You can order those on at the store. It's only $25, which includes shipping. That's a good deal, guys. We're not making money off of that. We're just wanting to get it out to you.
Yeah, just get the information out there. And so that's one way they can have those. If they if they're savvy enough computer-wise, they can go to our channel on YouTube and watch all of those for free on their computer or smartphone. So
right. If they want to share them with their friends that don't have internet or just, you know, have people over, order the set and pass them around. Get the word out to them.
And there's a wealth of information in those sermons about the spiritual structure. You know, nothing happens in the natural realm that doesn't already happen in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. You know, there are both realms.
Oh, absolutely.
And so as things occur in the spiritual, they manifest then. And eventually work themselves out into the natural realm. So that's what I'm dealing with, is those political spirits of Pharisee and
Jezebel,
and how that, you know, the Lord's been having me pray. And I should explain those in a little while here.
Yeah.
What that all means, and how to pray in the Spirit, and why. The purposes that are going on as to why this election is key to revival. People need information so they're not just sitting there, well, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, God's doing this, and now, you know, next year he's going to do that, and it's just, you know, just trying to figure. No, God has a plan.
There are
purposes that are being played out in bringing his kingdom and his will on earth, and America's destiny is real and vital.
Absolutely, it is.
And
it's covenant promise time. Mm-hmm. He's keeping every word that he's given to the forefathers of our country, for that matter.
That's right. And, of course, it's all about people.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't just do things for nations or for plots of lands or for institutions.
Right.
All of those things are vehicles in affecting people.
Mm-hmm.
God loves people.
Absolutely. And like I always say, souls are in the balance.
Yes.
Over these things. It's the heart of God is not political. And we were talking in the last few podcasts about the religious right missed it. And man, mm-hmm. we're just shooting. I'm not saying shooting from the hip. We're letting her rip.
Yes.
We really don't talk about these things before. And the Lord said, step up and say it.
Yeah. I'm being bold and honest at this point because the Lord got a hold of me in my prayer closet. And he said to do it because the people have so many questions. They need to know.
Right.
And they feel things within themselves. And if there isn't somebody that comes along that has a position of authority and verbalizes it and explains it, they have nothing to connect with. They doubt themselves. They don't know that they're hearing from the Lord. So we need to validate those people boldly.
Exactly. And I just want to throw out there right now that I've heard people come to me, and it's a cry of a lot of people's heart. They want to do the right thing. They want to vote. And basically, it's coming down to that Donald Trump is the presumptive candidate for the Republican Party.
Correct.
And they have been, they have fought more vigorously to get rid of him than they ever have fought against a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's really been brutal. And I've heard Christians say, we shouldn't vote for Donald Trump. Why would, I've even lost a few friends over this. Like, what, really? Because I mentioned Donald Trump. I've been dreaming. I went back and looked through these dreams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's been talking to you and me both about Donald Trump since like 2003, 2006.
Yes.
I mean, we've dreamed, we went through some of those in the last prior podcast. The Lord asked you, what would Donald Trump do? Just out of the blue. And he was giving you some instructions.
Yes.
And we were sitting there like, wait, what does that have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm. And I haven't fully explained what the Lord meant by that and probably don't have time now, but there was a purpose.
Right.
It was because of leadership quality.
Right.
And characteristics and dynamics.
Because I've heard people say, what about, he's so arrogant. Why would God want to put someone in there who's so arrogant? Or he doesn't treat women right. He's a racist, which I don't know where they get the racist thing at all. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with walls, which, you know, fences make for good neighbors as long as there's a gate. Honestly, I don't know that the wall is an issue. The policies are not the point. It's the spirit behind it.
And that's what we're trying to point out. We are not endorsing the man.
Right.
Other than God said so. So I, you know.
And a lot of times what people take as arrogance is somebody who knows what he's called to do. Let me put it this way. He knows what it's good leadership. It can be misinterpreted as arrogance. And if it were like a game of, you know, sporting game, he'd be just like talking smack, basically.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I kind of take it that way. People say, oh, he's so arrogant. No, he just knows what he knows. And he's not afraid to say what he knows. It's called authority.
Mm-hmm.
People have not seen authority, true authority, for so long.
Oh,
they don't
just
know what it looks like.
They're tired of the, all of the politics and the pandering, mm-hmm. and
political correctness, religious correctness.
Yes.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Never answering a question directly.
Yeah.
Always turning it toward your own talking points. And, you know, people are just tired of that. The whole nation is rising up.
Yes.
There are many people that still, are in lockstep with the far right or the far left. And, you know, there's no way that you can even get them out of that. I pray for their deliverance.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. It's what God is doing through
yes.
the center and bringing this nation to a place of just shaking all of that mess up and getting it back in order so that his purposes can come to pass and revival can hit this nation.
Yes. The religious right is standing in the way
yes.
of that. They don't want revival to hit the nation the way God does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're still trying to figure out how to stop Trump. They're trying to figure out how, behind closed doors, how to possibly come up with another candidate or another nominee. Or
in other words, they don't care what the people voted for.
Oh, no. They don't respect the people.
They don't respect the people.
And that's part of Phariseeism. I'll explain that in a bit.
Oh, yes. I want to hear about that. So you had, and maybe we already covered this, but I had written down some of quotes from a message you preached. I believe it was May 15, when you said that this election is being ushered in by the influence of the apostles and prophets now in this season and not the religious right. And that's what's confusing to so many Christians.
Yeah, it is.
They are used to following the religious right. And the Lord told me in 2005 at least, might have been 2004, that he was bringing down the religious right. The spirit of Pharisee was coming down. He didn't want them to have that kind of influence anymore.
Right.
And because it's the season of the apostle and prophet, he wants his prophets to usher in the next president. This is a first for the United States.
That's right.
For the apostles and prophets to be influencing the body of Christ to vote for the man that the hand of the Lord is upon. And so they're looking to the religious right, some people, and the religious right is like going, what just happened?
Well, they're still stuck in the past. When I made that statement that they missed it and that it turned sour.
They did.
Is that, you know, they missed it because, you see, as believers, we operate by the Word and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And even something that starts off really well, it has the purposes of God, the hand of God on it, eventually can run its course. And then the Spirit of God is lifted from it and placed upon something else because God shifts. He has ebbs and flows.
Yes.
He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word is always true, but the way the Spirit moves with humanity, with those ebbs and flows, is to release the power and to release the kingdom to affect humanity for revival and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So what happened is that God's moved on. The Spirit's moved on.
Right.
So those that are on the far right that are still holding on, you know, to the old wineskin, they don't want a new wineskin. And you know, sometimes you can do the seemingly right thing for the wrong reason. Attempting to do the Word, keep the Word, and keep the old wineskin, even in the name of God, thinking that you're doing right, but doing it without revelation and leading of the Holy Spirit leads to a religious system.
Ooh.
It's legalism. And so, in my opinion, that's what's happened. And so God has diminished the influence of the religious right. And now, because the apostolic prophetic movement, which is a relatively new thing in the face of the earth, you know, we've had all these different movements of God. There's been the Pentecostal movement, you know, and then there was a healing evangelist movement, you know, revival, etc. There have been many different revivals,
the charismatic
movement.
The Jesus People movement, which is where we came in.
Yeah.
The charismatic and the Jesus People.
Right.
And there was mighty revival happening at the time. People who have not lived during that, through that kind of revival, don't understand what revival means.
Right.
Because it takes on a life of its own. It's not something you can work up.
True.
It's something that God does, and you just get to enjoy the ride. You know, as long as you stay hooked up to the Spirit of God, it is a blast. I mean, getting people saved, and I mean,
it
does take on a life of its own. You can't control it. You can just yield to it, you know?
And it's important for people to understand, that's why I bring these explanations out, is that from the day that Jesus raised from the dead and ascended to the Father until the day eventually when he returns, what we call the dispensation of grace, the church age, is that it is God's will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Holy Spirit is working on the face of the earth right now in order to get people saved.
Yes.
However, we understand that part of those ebbs and flows is there are seasons when it becomes more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Apostle Paul talked about this present evil age, which is the entire atmospheric mindset of mankind without the presence of the Holy Spirit in it. And a lot of times, these philosophies and ideologies and just the way things work and the enemy behind the scenes raising up against Jesus Christ, there are times and seasons where it's more difficult to get people saved. And then there's times when it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
During the 60s and the 70s, it was so easy to get people saved. We humorously say you could stand on the street corner, read a phone book, and people would just come up and accept Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wasn't that fun?
It really was. It was
so
much
fun. Remember in the 80s and 90s how that it turned?
Yeah.
And it got more and more difficult. Now, there were still people getting saved.
Right.
God was doing what he could. through the people, but it was more difficult.
Yes, and when you shared what happened to us in Oregon, would people have to go back and listen? When you talked about the five pastors that were ousted from their congregations, the five largest churches in our city, and you were one of them.
Yes.
We were ousted by the religious system.
Oh, yeah.
By the spirit of Pharisee, the political
A political religious system.
Exactly. They ousted the prophets and then put in their political people in. It was basically the movement started like 1987, 1988, right at the time that God was bringing in and releasing the ministry of the prophet back into the earth.
Exactly. That's right.
And then they told us we should go back on the road and be evangelists. They couldn't come up with one sin to kick us out. They couldn't find any justification to get rid of us. I mean, I specifically said, you know,
right.
Did we misappropriate funds? No. And this is a... This was a ministry that we founded. They just weaseled their way into the board, and we were very young and naive and thought everybody was all about souls and Jesus. But all of the different things, they couldn't find anything to pin on us. I said, was there any sexual immorality somewhere? They said, no. Did we misappropriate the money? That's usually what people get upset about. Well, no. They finally had to say, you guys aren't called to be pastors. You're called to be evangelists. So you're out of the will of God. Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever
yeah,
heard?
Yeah, very dumb.
Your concern was getting people saved.
Yeah, because I stood in their way.
Right.
They formed an outside revival association and a political action committee of business people throughout the community who were strategically placed on the boards of the five largest spirit-filled churches.
Yes.
In the area.
This is happening across the country, not just where we lived.
Right. And so they tried. Yeah, we watched it happen everywhere. So that was their attempt. And they were trying to use God, church, and revival as a means for political
gain. Yeah.
And trying to get candidate, all the stuff they were doing in the churches, they tried to do in the political process.
Yes.
And so it was a horrible situation.
It was horrible. And they tried to destroy us because all we would do is what God called us to do. We didn't bow down to them.
Yes.
I almost lost my life physically. I knew that they wanted me out of the way because they presumed erroneously that it was your crazy wife. They called me crazy because I was a prophet and I didn't know it.
Right.
And so I would say things and read their mail and I didn't even know it. And I would make them so
nervous.
Always
upsetting them.
I did. I rocked the boat constantly.
Praise the Lord.
And it was an accident. I was just for being me.
Right.
I almost lost my life. I was down to 89 pounds in a hospital for like 5 weeks.
Very stressful time.
It was beyond...
Yeah.
They wanted me dead.
Yes.
And that I didn't know what the kind of warfare I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord raised me up, you know, and they almost killed me in the hospital, those doctors.
Yes.
But I'm alive today, praise God, only because the Lord brought me out.
Amen.
But that's how vicious... That spirit is that they will kill anyone that gets in their way.
Yes.
Or try to. And they basically said, you'll never work in this town again, that kind of a thing. And all of a sudden, you know, you'd been the advisor for these, you know, like for a Glow and different things like that. And suddenly you discovered that you were on the outside looking in. They had gone to everyone and persuaded them. It was like the mafia or something. It was so wicked. Absolutely diabolical.
Yeah. So we know whereof we speak.
Absolutely. And people didn't want to believe us because it was a church. Oh, churches don't do that. Oh, boy.
Or just forgive and forget.
Yeah, it's easy for them.
Oh, we forgave. But
they didn't find themselves and their children sitting on the street saying, what just happened?
Right.
That was really... Okay. So you can see that it was a very traumatic time for us. And this is the first time the Lord finally said, talk about it. And let the people know that that thing, I mean, it set back the spiritual purposes of God in that community.
Oh, it stopped revival.
For
the
decades.
Revival that was happening.
It stopped it, and it never has reclaimed it. Never has come back. Not like it was.
That political spirit. It's a political religious spirit or a religious political spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And... People need to know that.
They
need
to know.
It's not just secular.
Exactly. And just because it's in a church doesn't mean that it's from God.
Yeah.
And
hence Boy. That Jezebel and Pharisee.
Okay, talk about it. Talk to me here. Well, talk about political spirits.
The people. Political spirits, yeah. Very important. And because this is the way that the Lord revealed it to me. He can reveal it to other people in other forms and fashions, but just so the people understand what we mean about it, you know, in our journey and in our prayer and our discussions, is that you're probably 15 years ago, the Lord started talking to me about these things, and then you also, and we came along, CK, together through it, is that there is a far left. Mm-hmm. There was a political spirit of Jezebel that was coming into America primarily from Europe. Mm-hmm. It was very left. It was very liberal. Many different things about it. But let me explain why Jezebel. Jezebel was a Phoenician princess. Jezebel was a daughter of the king of Tyre. She was a priestess in the temple for Baal. Her name, Jezebel, B-E-L, is one of the names of Baal. Mm. She was a Baal worshiper. And in her brand of idolatry, when she brought it into the northern kingdom of Israel by marrying Ahab, then it influenced and changed, you know, the worship unto God. Now she had the prophets of Baal and so forth. And then eventually Ahab and Jezebel had a daughter named Athaliah, who ended up marrying into the king's family of Judah. So between the two of them, Jezebel and Athaliah, they took over both kingdoms and brought idolatry in. And it was very liberal. It was very, you know, I mean, we could go along the political correctness, all the things that you see from the far left.
A lot of silencing.
Oh, yeah. Really big time. And they eventually were destroyed, you know, by God. And I'll just mention this. It took the ministry of the anointed king and prophet to destroy Jezebel, and then the ministry of the anointed priest to destroy Athaliah. So the combined ministries in the Old Testament of the prophet, the priest, and the king took care of and destroyed and removed her. All of those are culminated in the New Testament in the anointing of Christ.
Wow.
And so through the anointing of Christ, and what I a lot of times call the Christ anointing, we have the authority to address Jezebel and to pray against her.
Yes.
In the spiritual realm, and that influence coming in it. So, mm-hmm. So that's that political spirit of Jezebel. Now, on the far right, there's Pharisee. Now, yeah. Pharisee, during the time of Christ, and this is the way that the Lord revealed it to me.
Okay.
During the time of Christ, there were primarily two parties that made up the Sanhedrin Council, the ruling body of Israel, the priests. There were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees not only kept, like the Sadducees, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, and the Levitical system, but they also added over 300 of their own rules and regulations. They were elitists, the Pharisees. They, they felt that they were above the common people, that the common people had been contaminated to some degree, we're not smart enough, we're not spiritual enough. So therefore, one of the attitudes and motivations of the Pharisees was that they had to control the common people by controlling the religion, Jewish religion, and by controlling the secular aspect, because the Sanhedrin Council not only ruled the spiritual affairs, but also the secular affairs under the Roman government at the time.
Wow.
It was a combined system. And then those that priests that were involved with the Roman government were also in a sect. There were many that were called the Herodians. But at any rate,
wow.
So Pharisee, they ruled by keeping control and making decisions behind closed doors for the sake of purity of the system. They didn't listen to the people. They didn't care what the people thought.
They didn't listen to God either.
No, they didn't. They were the ones that, along, you know, with the Sadducees also, that Jesus really loaded on. White-walled sepulchres full of dead men's bones, standing in the door of heaven, not entering in, and not allowing the people to go in either.
Matthew 23.
Yeah.
He ripped them a new one. Mm-hmm. He really did.
Brood of vipers.
Yeah.
You know, children of snakes. All of that. So that's what I began praying for back then, 15 years ago, is against the political spirit of Jezebel on the far left, the political spirit of Pharisee on the far right.
Mm-hmm.
And that political spirit had a lot of roots in Puritanism. Now, God bless the Puritans and the founding of our country and all of those wonderful things. But what I'm saying is when you take anything to the extreme, and particularly when we're talking about God, we're talking about the Word, and you take it to the extreme to hold on to it without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a spirit of control and manipulation. And both sides, Jezebel and Pharisee, were murderous.
Yes.
Anything that upset their apple cart, man, heads rolled.
Yeah.
And right now, both sides, both of those spirits in American politics today, because the spiritual influence is still in the spirit and still coming against people today, they're both trying to destroy Donald Trump.
That's an interesting point, really. That should open a lot of eyes right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why are they both so threatened by Donald Trump?
Yeah. Because he threatens their power, their control over the people.
He doesn't need their money.
Right. He threatens the disseminating of their propaganda and their ideologies. And so, he is the bulldozer. He is the wrecking ball.
I believe that he's King Cyrus from
Isaiah 45,
45th president of the United States. I know I'm going out on a limb when I say that, but it's an application of that scripture. Mm-hmm. It's a prophetic application.
Right. And you said that so well, because you notice what you said, I believe. And this is what I've been telling people. There's a difference between saying God said and I believe. See, mm-hmm. God said to me in that vision that I had, the angel said to pray for the one that the Lord has his hand on, and he showed me Donald Trump's face. So I can tell you right now, God said that his hand is on Donald Trump and to pray for him and to pray against the evil spirits, the dogs of hell of false witness, hatred, and murder coming against him. And they're coming against him primarily from the political spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee.
Right.
As well as other means, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
That was on April 7th.
That was on April 7th. And so I knew it. That's what God said. Now, what do I believe? I believe that he will be president.
I do, too. I believe he's going to win by a landslide, frankly, but that God's going to do it in spite of these other people, just to show that he's God. But go ahead.
Yeah, but as experienced prophets, we make a distinction between God said and I believe. I believe is based upon God said. It's based upon the Word. It's based upon the leading of the Spirit.
But I'm not trying to tell the people, thus saith the Lord, and if you don't line up with this, because I don't believe that even prophets are allowed to manipulate and control the people of God.
That's right.
We're required to say what he says, and then it's up to the people whether they believe it or not.
True.
It's between them and God. You see, the religious right had trained the people to have to listen to them, and they told them what to do. Mm-hmm. So the people are looking around for answers because no one's telling them what to do. They're trying to, but then they can't vote for that candidate because he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So
and
what
that
are
progressive,
they
far left Jezebel is the same way.
Uh-huh.
Both of them try to tell you what to believe and what to do.
And what to think.
And what to think. We tell people how to think and then make their decisions according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit for their own lives.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what we're projecting right now through this audience in the podcast. For the people to get in connection with God. Hear the voice of God.
Yes. And I really pray that this validates what people are feeling in their heart. And I also, I ask you, Lord, that you would drive the confusion out of the hearts of your people. Because there's so much confusion. This switching in the atmosphere has been coming. It's been a long time coming. It's been a hard one. because Pharisees so controlling in the church world, in what we would call the church system, which we are not part of, the system.
Yeah, the traditional system.
The traditional system. The Lord told us to move out of that system, remove ourselves. Well, they removed us. So we just kept going and outside of their system. Because they, you know, Jesus was outside of the system. And
right.
We're in good company. But people are hungry for what God is actually saying. And they need someone to help validate what they're feeling in their heart. Because this election is not about Donald Trump's policies.
No.
His relationship with the Lord, necessarily. It's not about anything that he, you know, foreign policy, any of that. I mean, he's got, I believe he has a lot of really good stuff that America needs. But it's about revival. It's about the anointing
yes.
of God.
Yes.
It's about the Lord using someone, raising up someone that's going to change and shift the atmosphere over America so that revival can take place. It is not
That's
time
it.
For judgment. It's not judgment time.
No, it's revival time.
It's revival time.
And revival brings judgment.
Yeah, but the right kind.
Yes, the right kind. Well and said.
Because if you get a Pharisee in office, it is judgment time.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a bulldozer in there.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Shake things up.
Absolutely.
If the powers that be created the mess that we're in right now, then how in the world can they change it? It's got to
right.
be somebody, an outsider.
And there's got to be wisdom here.
Right.
Because there's so many people that are so turned off by that spirit of Pharisee and when they and the religious right. They're so turned off that, you know, like for me personally, I'm not a Republican. I refuse. Well, the Lord told me
mm-hmm.
to, as a prophet, I had to, personally. It's part of my ministry in order to reach everyone, not just Republicans. I'm not a Republican, and I don't trust them any more than I trust the Democrats, frankly. They're just as hungry for the power, and they're doing the wrong thing for America right now, in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of touch with what heaven is doing.
That's it. So we've got to pray.
So the people need to know that it's different. It's different. The thing that concerns me about so much of the confusion that people have about the religious right, that they don't know what to think, what to, because they're used to them thinking for them, it seems like. Now, I didn't mean that to be an insult to anyone either. It's just that we've become so accustomed to being bullied by the spirit of Pharisee that that people have trouble standing up to it, and so they have to just keep their mouths shut and do what they're going to do. I want people to realize that God does not lead his people by fear. He doesn't drive people by fear. God doesn't drive people. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive you. He leads you. And we are compelled by love, which is the opposite of fear. So in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on, as the people are looking for answers and wanting to know, okay, what do we do? Because this is like going crazy. some people feel that way
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right.
As more and more candidates dropped out and we have the presumptive nominee and a lot of people are still expecting to see how they're going to try to get someone else because they don't care about the votes of the American people. They think, they want a Christian president. I heard Lance Wallnau talking about, you know, the wisdom of, you know, back the man that God's hand is on and don't just blatantly try to When the revival comes and it takes on a life of its own, you don't have to worry about legislating morality or anything else.
Right.
When those preachers would go, I mean, who was it, the one that would go into those towns? He would send his intercessor ahead. Oh, I want to say Charles Finney. Charles Finney would go into a town and he would preach until, well, isn't he the one that preached until everybody fell on the ground and then he stopped?
Yes, he was.
that was revival hitting the town. They didn't have to try to legislate, you know, anything about the morality at all. When people when revival comes and people find the Lord and God gets a hold of people and true revival happens, abortion clinics get shut down simply because of non-use. Nobody goes.
Right.
God changes a country from the heart, from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
They stop going.
That's right.
They stop killing their own babies. See, I could cry about that, but see, that's right. Not something you can legislate, because they were already killing their babies just illegally before Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
But now that the whole industry, you know, and has deceived people into thinking that's not a real human being, and now they're just really discovering that there's a little flash of light mm-hmm. that happens at conception, they can
Jezebel.
See it. Jezebel. Scientifically, that's Jezebel.
Baal worshippers sacrifice children.
Absolutely. And that was it. At the end of the chapter 45, Isaiah, where he talks about Cyrus, that he was going to use to bring this idol worshiper that God was going to use
uh-huh.
to bring his people out of captivity and back to Jerusalem to rebuild. You go right into the next chapter, and it says, Bel bows down.
Yes, it does.
Bel bows down.
Yes.
God's trying to do something here. He is doing something here. And people need to understand the spiritual, the prophetic implications here. We're eyewitnesses of the future. He needs his prophets to be bold. Don't be slack and don't hold back, is what the Lord told me. Souls are in the balance. That when God steps in, all the prayers have been prayed for America. He doesn't answer it necessarily through legislating morality. When God steps in and true revival happens, hearts are changed, and it comes from the inside out, like anything else he does. It's a metamorphosis from the inside out in the hearts of people.
Yes.
He changes hearts. He introduces himself to individuals and eventually the entire country.
That's right.
And that's what closes down. That's what closes down abortion clinics. That's what brings prayer back into the schools. That's what gets the Ten Commandments back up on
That's
the walls
right.
of the courtrooms.
That will reverse Roe versus Wade.
Absolutely. That will do it.
Right.
When you go to the heart of the people, instead of all the spiritual bullying from the outside in.
Yeah. Revival changes the heart of the people. And when the heart of the people is changed, the heart of the nation is changed. And when the heart of the nation is changed, the politics, the political system and government changes. The laws change. Everything changes.
When the heart of the people is changed. Absolutely. God's going for the heart of the people. And so you can't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears in this election. The Trump factor.
Yes.
It has scared a lot of people. Hey, scared straight, how about? And right in the middle of this, do not, I want to reiterate, do not go down the rabbit hole on YouTube, with all of the conspiracy people and all of the ridiculousness about the Illuminati and the New World Order and the, just, come on, you guys, we're smarter than that. It's not a flat earth. Can you believe this? I can't believe this.
It is hilarious.
You can find it in the Word of God sad. That God talks about the horizons. He talks about the fact, it's in the Word, that our planet is hung in space. The planets. He talks about all these things. I'm off on that. But don't go down the rabbit hole of fear and conspiracy, because it's all fear-driven. And just like Jesus said, that, you know, in those days they're going to say, lo, Christ here and lo, Christ there. Well, it's like right now they're going, lo, Antichrist here and lo, Antichrist there. And everybody's the Antichrist.
Right.
And Obama has the mark of the beast. And that's not me saying that. I'm just saying for
people
clarity,
out there saying it.
There's people out there that say that. And then they turn right around and say, no, the Pope is the Antichrist. I mean, people, oh my goodness. Don't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears or the manipulations of these false voices of prophecy out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Learn to recognize the form of the Lord. No fear is our battle cry. That's what you're seeing in Donald Trump, frankly. He's got no fear. You know, what can man do to him? When the Lord's on your side, you got no fear. You got to know that you know what you know, who you know, who you are in God, in Christ, and that God is in control. Give him a little more credit than this, people. They're freaking out as if God doesn't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying to talk God into putting a more religiously acceptable person in there. When God has already said, my hand's on him.
Exactly. The Lord said his hand was on Donald Trump.
Follow the purposes of God. Let God work it all out.
Yes. Here's a novel idea. Why don't we let God be God?
You mean trust him?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be odd?
Oh, no. I got to trust those things that I have control over.
Well, might have to take a walk on the wild side.
Well, I'll be. You're trying to talk me into faith.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's what you call it, isn't it? It's called faith. Faith. People saying it's the last days and it's time for judgment. No, not yet. God says it's the last days. It's time for revival. See, God,
yes.
He is not willing that any should perish. That's his point. So if you're willing for people to perish, you might want to check out your heart on that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So, you know, we have free will. Everyone has a free will. But God wants everyone to hear the message. He wants revival. He wants to bring in, I mean, this is the massive harvest we've been waiting for. And why don't we just trust that God knows what he's doing? And with that, my listening audience, I want to thank you. I'm thankful for every one of you that's been listening, that's been following. God bless you. The fact that you're even here participating in this ministry, in this podcast, with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying right now, you are precious. You are powerful. You need to know this about yourself. You have a different spirit, an excellent spirit, a prophetic spirit. You have the Spirit of the Lord. You have a heart to hear God and to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom on planet Earth. You care about souls. You care about righteousness. You love God, or you wouldn't even be listening right now. And apparently, you're not so hot on the traditional religious system, or you wouldn't be here either. But you're in good company about that, because Jesus totally felt the same way. That's why he's here, manifesting himself among you, showing you your future in advance, personally escorting you into your destiny. And that's what he's doing for our country. Personally escorting us into our destiny. Let's embrace the day. He doesn't condemn or shame his people ever, but he does show us our future in advance and then personally escorts us there. I am thankful to be part of what God is doing in the earth today. I am honored and humbled to live in his presence, to be a carrier of his glory, to see and hear in the Spirit, and to be able to birth it into this physical realm. I am thrilled to be on this journey with the Lord, walking with him, called up by him into levels that I never knew existed. And he's called all of us. Hey, let's all come up. Let's all come up and walk in the Spirit. Let's all see what he sees. It's bigger. The picture, the whole thing is bigger than any of us have realized. God is actually keeping his covenant word. Go figure. It's awesome. And you're a covenant person. You're a covenant person. Remember your covenant. Every promise he has given you, he will bring to pass. The Lord says, put me in remembrance. I mean, actually, it's more like put yourself in remembrance. Because he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten the destiny that he has given you. It's never too late to fulfill your destiny. It's never too late to find God, to find your place. It's never too late to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. If you have, as long as you have breath in your lungs, cry out to Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. Don't delay your destiny by not walking in love. Boy, these are just such exciting times to live in. I hope that these podcasts are a blessing to your life. Thank you for listening. I love you. God bless you.
Okay, that's good. We're out of time. I want to thank you guys for listening, and make sure to subscribe, tell your friends, and tune in next week. We thank you again.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.